When we look through John chapter 12, we see a love story unfold before our eyes. You know, when we were younger guys, we loved to get love letters from our loved ones. And when I was in the military, I loved to get letters, you know, from people I knew. But God's love letter is here for us today. And last week, we looked at the climax of love. Remember, with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and with the disciples, they were over at the house there of Simon the leper, who had been healed. And it was such a wonderful time because it was a time of love. And it glorified Christ because you had many people come by who were curious. You know, let's see if Lazarus is still there. And people today are still curious about our testimony, our faith. Are we still here? What are they doing? What makes them tick? Why do they believe what they believe in? And I really believe that at that time that each one of these people, Mary had the love language of help. And, Martha had the love language of worship. I got those two mixed up. It's the other way around. Okay? Got it. All right? Try to get it together, guy. Okay. And then, of course, there was Lazarus. He was a good listener. And because of that, he had a witness, too, of being there. I believe his love language was helps. He was there, whatever he could do. Sometimes it's better just to sit and be quiet and be there when you're called to do something. So he was called to be there for the people. And it was a wonderful time. You remember last week, looked at Judas. As the saying goes, it seems like there's a Judas everywhere. And I believe the Lord laid it on my heart to say, don't let anybody rob you of your blessing of giving. You give as the Lord tells you to give. As I said, some people got a mountain of bills. Well, when you give with your tithes and offerings, make sure you get things right in the other areas in your life. And get those paid down, paid off, and then you can come to God's house and worship with your tithes and offerings. But remember to put that first before the Lord. Remember, put everything first before him. So, but Judas, he lied, and he says, well, it'd be better off to give to the poor. And so some people are good manipulators, and he tried to manipulate the scene. And I love what Jesus said in that chapter 12. He says, leave her alone. And I love what our Savior did, because Judas left her alone. And she wiped our Savior's body with her hair, this form of worship, and the disciples were just like, oh, you know, back in the day, in that time, women did not let their hair down. They kept it up. Okay? They only let it down for their husbands. And so they were kind of surprised. Sometimes God calls us to do things that we're not used to doing, but he calls us and he gives us a blessed assurance and that love that no one ever loved us like he does in our own personal lives, you know? So we have that background. And so now you had the third part we looked at last week. You had the plotters and you had the priests. And because if you go against the flow in life, against society, you're going to have people who don't like you. And then, of course, they were plotting to kill Jesus. They hated him. And I thought about that this morning. Lord, why do people, some people hate us so much? It's because of our faith. God does not want us to be troubled about that. He wants us to be faithful and to trust him to get us through life's problems. And so you had these people. You had now, we're looking at today, we're looking at the Passover season. And you're having millions of people coming from all around, Jewish people. And from all different walks of life, life and languages. And they converse here on Jerusalem. And Josephus says, for every 10 people, you could, with one lamb that you kept for 3 days, you could have that sacrifice. So, in other words, 10 people would be equivalent, let's say, to a family. So, and then if you look at that, he said also, Josephus said, there were 257,000 lambs. See, and you're saying, preacher, what are you trying to say? There were a lot of lambs, and there were a lot of people. Now, it's interesting that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Very interesting. Keep that in the back of your mind. We don't have time to turn to Isaiah 53. But he, in the iniquity of us, was laid on him who was knew no sin, and he was the lamb to be sacrificed. So there's a lot of interesting pictures here if you study this passage. So now we see here in verse 12, I titled this message, The King Comes to Die. And I really thought about this. You know, we need to die to ourselves so that we can become more like Christ. It doesn't work any other way, at least I know in my life. It's a very difficult thing to do, to crucify the flesh daily. It's very difficult. Some days you're like, what's the point? God's saying, don't give up on me. I didn't give up on you. You know what? I understand. God understands because we're sinners and he knows that we're frail. So let me encourage you here. All right, we haven't gotten to the good part yet. So it says here, the next day, a great multitude had come to the feast, which was the Passover. You had all the people that are coming for the Passover. Also, all the people that were coming around seeing what Lazarus was doing. You know, curiosity had gotten the cat, so to speak. They were like, okay, we see him. He's alive. All right. This is just the week before Jesus is crucified. This is 6 days before now. The next day, the great multitude had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They had been waiting. Remember, in John chapter 12 and John chapter 11, they had been waiting. When is this Jesus coming? You had the opposition. They wanted to kill him. They had just given up. They had sent guards. They had sent people, their spies, to see what's going on. And they could never get to Jesus. And by golly, we even tried to arrest him, and he would just disappear. Where did he go? One here, 1 minute, gone the next. I've often learned in God's will, if God doesn't have it there for you, move on. You know, try something else. Get busy. Be creative. You know, they tried everything. And so we see here, there was a multitude that come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Now, they were all there. Now they're going to take branches. Now you have to understand 200 years before this, the Maccabean period, you had the Syrians that had control over Jerusalem. And they remembered what it was like being under the oppression, under the authority of the Syrian government. And they were like, we don't want to do that anymore. So they were looking at the Romans, and they were like, okay, this Jesus, he has to deliver us politically as well as what? You have the political ramification as well as we want his kingdom to come. Okay, but the problem is with the people, which I said they were kind of fickle. They were going back and forth. They weren't being faithful in God's word. They were looking for something to happen that wasn't going to happen yet. And sometimes in God's will, he wants us to wait upon him, and he shall lift us up as eagles, and we can soar over life's problems. But their problem was they wanted God now. They wanted the fast food type of God. You know, pull up there on the intercom and say, you know, I want this. Pay for it. Okay, let's go. It doesn't work like that. Okay? So, you had here that they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. Now, it's interesting. They used palm branches there as a part of worship. They were saying, look, we're going to wave our palm branches. We're going to cry out and say, Hosanna, and which meant to save us now. It wasn't a peaceful, nice type of Hosanna. It was like, save us now. We want our salvation of our nation. We're tired of this oppression. Well, there, Josephus went on to say, third time I mentioned him, that there are many palm trees around. And you have to understand, too, there were many people camped out everywhere. You think about Jesus when he was born in a stable, or some people say in a limestone cave, because there was no room in the inn. In other words, there was no room anywhere. But there were people camped out all around Jerusalem, outside Jerusalem. 2.5 million people. They hear that this Messiah, the Savior, is coming. So they grab these palm branches because it's symbolic of deliverance. And they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're quoting out of Psalms 118, 25, and 26. They would sing this song here in Psalms 118 every time one of the great feasts would come up, a special celebration. They would sing this song. So they'd say, the King of Israel. Well, verse 14 goes on to say, then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it. Let me stop there. Remember in Matthew's gospel, Christ sent out two disciples. What did they do? It didn't say who they were. They went out to this man and said, we need a donkey. And the guy was like, okay, well, I got one here. That is a supernatural response. When God does things in our lives, say, Lord, I want to please you today. I got something to do this week. Now, take care of my need. And God will supply you, whether it's things we talked about, we take for granted, like our eyesight. Take for granted our cars, our homes. We come home from work after a long day, and it's, by the way, it's getting darker, so you know, doctors tell us that we become more tired because we think it's later than it is. We come home to a nice home or to a nice cooked meal or to loved ones, or people that we know if we live in an apartment, a community, or whatever. So they were able to retrieve this one donkey, and they brought it. And what they did is they laid one of their garments on top of the donkey, and they decided to take their garments, the people did, and spread them on the ground. And that was a symbolic of submission. When conquering kings would come through and they would come home from conquering other nations, people would throw all kinds of things up in the air in celebration, and also they would lay their cloaks down. And so they looked at it as being doing everything right except for the donkey, because the donkey was, and they're quoting out of Zechariah 9:9, says, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a colt. Now, we could look at the donkey and say, okay, well, that's a sign of peace. Compared to Revelation 19:11, which was a war horse, which is symbolic of a conquering king. It's interesting in Revelation 19:11, now I saw in heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. So there was a moment, I'm sure there was a pause, and they were thinking, well, wait a minute, he's coming in peace. He's coming different. And the title of this message is here, is the king comes to die. Well, he came to die. He came on his terms. He was about to do his father's will, a complete reversal of what the people expected. Let me just pause for a minute. Sometimes God puts us on pause to say and to reflect in our lives, well, wait a minute. Am I doing what he wants me to do? Am I bearing my cross? Am I doing what I need to do? And sometimes it goes right against all of our plans, but we have to accept that. It's hard. It's very hard. But God gives us the grace to go through this. And I like what it says here as an encouragement in Revelation 19, 14. And the armies in heaven, clothed with fine linen, white and clean, follow him on white horses. So one day we're going to come back here, not in the first coming, which the people were expecting Jesus to deliver them, but the second coming is going to come when he will deliver mankind from the evils of Satan and his hordes and his armies. And one day we're going to come back on white horses, like him, being models and examples of what he has done. Isn't it interesting? When you look at the Word of God, everything about Jesus should be a reflection of us. That is why I'm saying my prayer is today we will continue to crucify the flesh, to say no to us, ourselves, and more to him. Because what is there to lose? I witnessed to a guy not long ago, and I said, what have you got to lose? I say, if you gain the whole world, yet you lose your own soul. And his answer was, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Now, you know, people that are into the world don't understand it, because we're different. And that's why we need to be led by the Holy Spirit to witness when we can, whatever God has told us to do. The other day, I shared this with Wednesday night class. Lady looked at her pickup truck. Oh, or whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. She goes, well, I'm a whosoever. And she goes, I like what you got there. That's good. You know, and she was talking to Kimberly, and we had a good laugh. You know, I'm a whosoever too. You know, we know we are Christians by our love. We weren't going to sit there and talk about, well, I disagree over this, and that. Yes, that's important, but there's the love of Christ. There's my sister in Christ. God bless her, you know, and thankful that we can meet other Christians. So, going back to Jesus, they were looking at hopefully this Savior, but something wasn't making sense. And sometimes life doesn't make sense. And some people said that don't try to make any sense of it. And I'm like, well, all I can do is pray and ask God to take care of the rest. Because you know, it's all in God's hand, his timing. So here comes the meat of the message here. So verse 16, his disciples did not understand these things at first. A lot of times we don't understand things ourselves at first. And then we need to pray. Well, but when Jesus was glorified, that's talking about his death, burial, and resurrection, then they understood the prophecies in God's word. Because you got to understand, until Pentecost happened, the Holy Spirit would just come and go amongst people. And people would be filled with the Spirit. They would happen with King David, happen with others throughout the Old Testament. And God would speak to them. And they remembered these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Now, I want us to turn over to Matthew chapter 11, and verses 1 through 6. And I'm pausing here to take us across to another time and place with John the Baptist. Because sometimes, and we come to a situation in our life where things just don't make sense. Why, Lord, are you allowing things to happen like they are? Just like the disciples were too. Jesus, you don't make any sense. Jesus, I'll follow you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, like even Thomas said to the other disciples, you know what? We said this a few Sundays ago. I'll go ahead and die for you, Jesus. I don't understand, but you know, Thomas was very courageous. He was willing to go down to Jerusalem with Jesus and actually die for him. But he doubted Jesus at times. And sometimes we doubt Jesus. We don't understand what he's not making any sense. Well, there was a man named John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist had got himself in trouble with a man named Herod Antipas. And Herod was apparently the governor of a few provinces there around Jerusalem. And he was an ungodly king. In fact, he was the grandson of Herod, the same Herod who told the people in Jerusalem, every kid that was 2 years and younger needs to die, because he heard it through the wise men that this was going to happen. And so he sought out the religious leaders, and because of their ignorance and their pride, and because they didn't want anything to do with Jesus, about him coming, because they wanted everything for themselves, they told him, they said, yeah, this Messiah is supposed to come. And at Bethlehem. So it's amazing how dark people's hearts are today. And so you had Herod's son, Herod Antipas. And just give you a little bit of background before I read Matthew chapter 11. He had fell in love with a lady named Herodias, and he decided, he was married, they were both married, they both decided, King Herod and Herodias, they both decided to divorce their spouses, okay? And because of that, Herod decided he wanted to marry his niece, which was Herodias. And also, it went against the Mosaic law. Now, I'm telling you all this because John the Baptist found out, and John the Baptist rebuked Herodias and said, "You're wrong." Herodias, what did he do? He threw John the Baptist into jail and said, "Wait a minute, Pastor, I'm trying to follow you here. What does this have to do with what you're saying?" Well, it didn't make any sense to John the Baptist while he was thrown in jail. In fact, you'll find out here in Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, that he started to doubt Christ. He didn't understand why Jesus, why are you putting me through all this? And I really believe the Lord wants us to hear this, because we have, if we're not going through it now, we've been through it in the past, we will go through it in the future. And just hang on here a minute. Let me read Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. "Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and preach in the cities. When John," that means John the Baptist, "had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one coming one, and do we look for another?'" Now, he had been in jail for a year. And if you and I were in jail for a year, as we have talked to people, I'm sure if we've had a ministry, they will tell you, "I have a lot of time on my hands." And sometimes things can get confusing, and they don't understand everything, because you're in one place for a long time because you're being punished. Remember, Herodias, he did not like John the Baptist, and he was trying to find a way to get rid of him, behead him. And that's what happens with people when they want to get rid of the truth. They want to lock it away. That's why we're missing the Bible in people's homes. People leave it on the shelf. "Oh, I got a nice family Bible. That's it." Well, he was put away in jail. He started to doubt Christ. He told his two disciples, "Go and talk to Jesus. What's going on?" And so this all ties in. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers cleanse, and the deaf hear, and dead are raised up from the poor, and have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." We're going to look at some points here that could be applicable in our lives today, that will help us to encourage one another today. So we know what happened here with John the Baptist. Herodias, Herod's wife, she was angry, and she had a grudge. And she said to her daughter, Salome, "Why don't you go dance? before Herod. And she did this lewd dance. And it doesn't say what kind of dance, but a lot of theologians believe that she was very lewd when she did it. And Herod was just like, oh, this is great. I'll give you up to half my kingdom. I'll give you up to half my kingdom. I'm sure Herod must have been drunk. Anybody give away half their kingdom? He wasn't thinking. Sometimes you got to dig into scripture and figure, why did they even say that? It doesn't make no sense. Well, she went back to her mother. Her mother says, chop off John's head. And that's exactly what happened. Now, historians tell us that Herod and Herodias did not live very prosperous lives after this. In fact, they were both killed. Okay? And Salome, she disappeared from history books. And so, but we see here that expectations of John were not what he expected to be. And think about disciples seeing Jesus coming through on a donkey. You were like, okay, Lord, what are you doing now? So, unmet expectations. Sometimes things can be unrealistic. Sometimes they can be unsatisfactory. Sometimes they can cause discouragement. And you're also expecting, or you desire and expect a delivery which never comes. Some people get married. They think it's Mr. Prince Charming and Cinderella, and it turns out to be the Beauty and the Beast. It could be family that you're disappointed with, or friends, or work, or relationships. We all struggle with these things all the time, disappointments in life. So there's three areas here. Look in verse 4 in Matthew chapter 11. Look for what God is doing, not what he is not doing. Look at what he is doing, what he is not doing. Look for all the good in everything. Look for all the good that has kept me from a critical spirit, a very mean spirit, and I get myself in trouble, and God's saying, I need to put you in your place. You're way out there in left field. You should be right here with me. So look for all the good. Number two, don't be fixed on lost instead of the gain. And see all the, what you can learn from it. What you learn from your trial. What you can gain from it. And then, of course, we look at, people that have a tendency to be, negative Nellies or negative Neds. Instead of looking at the positive things, have a good attitude. No matter what, it's okay. I was going through God's Word this morning. What comes to mind is Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. For I know, says the Lord, because the Israelites are just taken into captivity of Nebuchadnezzar. And they're like, why are we in captivity now? And it says, for I know the thoughts that I had towards you. He says to Jeremiah, he says, the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me, and when you search me with all your heart. Boom, boom, boom. All those steps right there to Jeremiah. You know, you look for me, you seek me with hope and with all your heart, and you will find it. And God's saying, you know, I have good things for you. I'm not here to hurt you. So if we look at it that way, look for all what he is doing, what he is, and not what he is not doing. Number two, we need to fall forward when there's a problem, we stumble and we fall and we're disappointed in life, and not fall away. This is so important because I know so many people today, and I mean so many people emphatically, that don't want anything to do with God. And people have gotten angry at God. Ted Turner, the mongrel, the billionaire, used to be a born-again Christian. He, as a teenager, was a Southern Baptist, accepted Christ as his Savior, And he loved the Lord Jesus. Now, this is coming from people that knew him, that very few people know about. And so his sister had a problem here with lupus. And she was in a lot of pain, always crying, and it just wore Ted down. It wore that man down so much that he became angry at God. And, you know, we know loved ones, we know people, we know friends that are very angry at God. But we need not to fall away, to apostatize. We need to fall forward on our faces to God and say, God, help me, I need you. We need to run to him when critical problems happen. And I thank God you are blessed because you are here by the grace of God and you are here as living testimonies because you have been through the fire. Each one of you have been through things that I can't even imagine. So Ted Turner, and there are many others like that, not just him. So that's the second one. Fall forward when you do before the grace, before the throne of God, when things go wrong. Say, Lord, I can't, good, because then God can do something, right? You've heard of that? Sometimes we get in the way and God's like, okay, if that's what you want, you know. But you know what? God loves you. He loves you. And so we see third of all, we find here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 6, and blessed is he that is not offended because of me. And if we go back to John chapter 12, and remember that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. And this is my third point. Hold on to eternity. Hold on to eternity. Hold on to eternity. Don't let go. You know, my mother used to make quilts. And on one side of the quilt, it looked horrible. Ever did that when you're a little boy or a little girl and looked underneath mom's quilts and you see all the stitching underneath and it just looked all messy? And like, oh, this is, what is this, you know? But when you flip it on the other side, you have a beautiful quilt. A beautiful quilt. And sometimes things can look really messy or confusing. But we have to look at things on the good side. So what am I saying here? We need to hold on eternity. I did like a study about God's yoke. And listen to this. And Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 says, come to me, all ye who are laboring that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, back in the day, some people don't realize this, with an oxen yoke, you would have two yokes. One is for you. The other one is for Jesus. One is for you, one is for Jesus. This is what Matthew was trying to say. I'm with you. My yoke is light. Come with me. I'm right with you. Pulling your burden, your wagon, whatever things that are just pulling you back, that is hurting you. Says here, come to me, all of you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take upon my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God wants us today to lighten up, to enjoy ourselves. I love some of the laughs that you all have, some of the smiles. It's encouraging. So I'm like, oh boy, that's, you ever hear somebody laugh and you think, well, they might be a little crazy a little bit. No, laughter is good. It's good to laugh. It's good to smile. Sometimes we have to laugh at ourselves, laugh with other people. Hey, loosen up. You know, Jesus is bearing our yoke too. His head is right next to us. And we're just pulling it together. We're a team, Lord, right? So three things. Look at, number one, look at what he is doing, not what he is not doing. Number two, fall forward, face on the ground. Don't fall away like some people have in our lives. And tragically, we pray for them and they're so angry at Jesus. Number three, hold on to eternity. Hold on to those reins of that horse and never let go. Because what happens if you don't be like some people who are in the circus, they can let go of those horses' reins and ride around. Don't try to be something that you're not. Be yourself, right? Hold on to those reins because Jesus has got you on your horse. Jesus wants you to get on your horse and carry on for him. Never be afraid. By the way, God's going to take care of you. So the king came to die, but the disciples, in closing with this, had no inkling what he was talking about. It did not make sense. Not until it was the death, burial, and resurrection. It makes no sense to us today, life sometimes, does it? You know, it really doesn't. We do the best we can. With God's grace, we keep pushing on. Keep running the race. Let me encourage you. So the king came to die. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Praise God. He did that. And we have that conqueror, Jesus Christ, right with us today, pulling that weight that we have with us today of life. And we need to die to ourselves so he can work with us and show us. You know, and I'll close with this. As God tenderizes our hearts, you know, God reveals more to us. Amen. We look at ourselves, maybe some of us have been saved 30, 40 years, but yet we're growing in the Lord. We're saying, my goodness, what spiritual insight that I have today. Look how I've come so long by the graces of God and his mercy. It's only that because sometimes God has to allow us to go through so much, but we're growing in him. And the encouraging part is we're dying to self. We are dying more and more daily to him because he's showing us, like he did the disciples, once Christ had died and he was buried and he rose again. And then they understood. We have the whole love story here. We have it here to read today. So let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your love. And your grace and your mercy. Oh, how much we need you. Oh, how much we need your word. We need to have a song, a melody in our heart. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Keeps me going no matter what. Lord, we just pray here today that we can take the examples from your word, use them to encourage ourselves, and say, Lord, I'm going to keep going on for you no matter what. I may be bathing in my tears. I may be hurting all over. I may have so many medicines that I have to take to keep me functioning. No matter what your problem is today, come to the cross, deny yourself, pick it up, or pick up that yoke and remember there's someone right next to you who's got that yoke for you today too. Father, we pray that you bless us today. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.